Hello, everyone. What a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. I am going to open up a little presentation, partly because it helps me order my thoughts and it gives us some pretty pictures to look at. So let us have a look at this. Whee! And hey, there we go. I might move a few windows out of the way, but I can't see my mouse because I'm in presentation mode. It's all fine. Okay. Well, welcome. We are talking email and podcast, well, podcast and email marketing. And essentially, this is all about cultivating an audience that actually want to be there rather than sort of interrupting people while they're mid-scroll. We have to do a little bit of that, but we don't necessarily want to build our entire sort of systems around that. While I am presenting, I will ask two things. If you've got any questions, please do pop them in the chat. I will make sure that we've got time to go through stuff, and some of that may involve, I'm going to talk about some theory, so some of that might involve getting it actually on its feet. If something is awry, missing, wrong, weird, I might not see that in the chat as I'm sort of presenting. So Francis, I will call upon you if you just want to unmute and shout and go like, "Mark, no one can see your slides," or whatever, then let me know. And I will, pause proceedings. Otherwise, I'll just barrel on ahead and talk at you for a bit. But there will be plenty of time for us to actually have a chat about all of this stuff. So I am Mark. For anyone that I haven't met yet, hello. It's lovely to be here. I call myself a podcast problem solver as of about 2 weeks. And that involves 18 years, or sorry, 16 plus years of podcasting. And about 20 years as a sort of techie coder person. So very much an engineer's problem solver kind of mindset. But over the last few years, through communities like Better, Bolder, Braver, I have been lucky enough to find my squishy side as well, and very much enjoy playing in that space. So social media is something of a crowded tube station. And it kind of feels like the only way to get anyone's attention is to just shout louder than the last person. And that can be somewhat debilitating, tiring, frustrating. And the part of that is because the algorithms that govern social media are based on prioritizing and promoting what they call engagement. So that's stuff that gets people annoyed, or otherwise riled up and excited. It means the sort of we get a bit of a base sort of lowest common denominator, race to the bottom things, when certain things go viral. And again, it kind of just leads to this problem of the person that's kind of shouting the loudest or using the biggest bangs tends to be the one that gets the most attention. And in the economy that we're in, as solopreneurs and small business owners and people helpers, that's not necessarily our bag. And I think a lot of the Better, Bolder, Braver philosophy is about how can we be a little bit calmer in this process. What a lot of sort of social media is based on is us sort of bringing stuff directly to people, whether they want it to or not. If we think about Reels and TikTok and YouTube Shorts, it's very much a lean back experience. Stuff comes at you, and you make a choice whether to get rid of it or not. We are sort of throwing ourselves at people. And what we really want to do is try and find the people that we can create and cultivate more relationships with so that we have got permission to be interacting with them rather than blasting a bunch of stuff and hoping that it resonates. The other issue with social media is that we don't own our followers. Our messages, the things that we send to people, whether this is on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, increasingly Threads, almost all of these platforms, sending a message, posting something to your followers does not guarantee that your followers will see it. A lot of that came about through Facebook, bringing the hammer down quite a few years ago now, probably maybe even 10 years ago, especially with business accounts.
because their thinking is, well, if you amass a bit of a following, that following is valuable to you. You should pay to reach them. It doesn't matter that you earned that audience by doing good work. You should now pay if you want to reach them. And so we have to pay to boost stuff so that we can increase the likelihood that people will see our stuff. And that is frustrating when you put out a lot of work and, you know, you don't get a lot of stuff back and you kind of think, well, is that because of my content, it wasn't resonating with people? It may not be the case. It may just be that the algorithm of the day decided, this one, it doesn't have enough exclamation points. It doesn't use the right emoji. It doesn't match our priority for what we want to see more of on our platform. So we won't necessarily show it to that many people. You can't reach people on your terms. And you can lose your followers at any time. It does happen. People's accounts get locked out. It can happen for very simple reasons. Maybe there's a weird two-factor authentication thing and you no longer, or you lose access to an email address, or you accidentally change your password. You can try emailing support. You're not going to get through because there's billions of people using the system. And so you can lose an audience at any time for any reason. The algorithm might decide, or the organization might decide that they want your account to not be visible. There's all sorts of things like shadow banning. You get the idea. Essentially, this one-way relationship is not something that we actually get to really have much of an ownership over. So let's take a look at a scenario then. Let's say you are a coach, a people helper. You've got some ideas that you want to tell people about. You've got some, you know, thinking in the better, bolder, braver way. You're thinking about your different aspects of, or different points along the journey of consciousness that your potential clients might be at. And you're trying to create messaging to guide people along so that they are not necessarily aware that they've got a problem all the way through to, they know what the problem is, they've got an idea of what the solution is, and now it's just about booking a Zoom call in with you to have a chat. So in order to start getting the word out, to demonstrate your authority, to give yourself some content that you can then send to your clients to add value, but also to prove that you know what you're talking about, you might have a YouTube channel, a podcast, a blog, you'll have a social media presence that you might use to promote those things, so it all goes back up the stack. And so how do you actually start to build trust and relationships? The key thing here with a podcast is it is absolute fuel for building trust, because it is based on your voice and is based on a personal connection in a way that the other things aren't. YouTube is still an algorithmic platform. We still have the same kind of issue. A podcast feels like it is delivered to people. People subscribe to the podcast, they follow the podcast, it goes into their app of choice, and then new episodes appear and they can listen to them. And there is no algorithm governing that. And so what we would typically think about doing is going, okay, well, we've got this podcast, we want to deepen the relationship with people. So, you know, or I want to be able to invite people to buy my course or join my next cohort or join my membership, whatever it might be. And so we want to collect their email addresses. And that typically, that's often the way we go. We go from sort of YouTube or podcast, maybe even blog, through to getting people's email addresses. And that is, that can have its issues because of some weird quirks of the way people think. So how do we actually get people to listen to our stuff and to engage with it if we don't want to keep shouting more loudly in social media or hitting and hoping? And for this, email is the key. It is permission marketing in the Seth Godin sense. People are inviting us in like they do with the podcast as well. They are saying, I want, I don't mind you being here. You are welcome here. It is a relationship that comes with some responsibility. It's something that we don't want to abuse, because this is people's, you know, we are talking about people's inboxes. And so unlike a followship, there is actually a bit of a responsibility here, more than, you know, with a followership, to make sure that we treat people's inboxes with respect and we build up a good reputation. There are even technical reasons for why you'd want to do that as well, because if you don't have a good email reputation, your emails might land in people's junk. But if you behave well, it's not that it's a meritocracy, but if you behave well and you send things that aren't routinely flagged to spam, then you will always end up in people's inboxes. Unlike, like I said, social media, where regardless of whether someone follows you, your message might get out there, it might not. So what we want to be able to do is capture email addresses at the earliest point and let people get on with their day. And so we'll talk about that. And what we're going to do is, instead of using the podcast to promote the email newsletter, we actually want to use the email newsletter as a way to almost as a delivery mechanism for the podcast, so that it just becomes another way for people to get your show and then build that relationship with them. So what we have to do is think about how, and we're going to talk about how we get attention later on social media, but we start with having got a bit of attention, let's say. What we have often done for the last sort of few years, we use things like audiograms, we use clips of our podcast, and we post them on social media. And then maybe we put a link to our latest episode in there. Maybe we just write a post that says, hey, there's a new episode, here's an image. In this episode, we talk about X and Y. Link in the description, or link in the comments, and there we go. And what we tend to find is that those posts don't necessarily get interacted with all that much, and those links don't necessarily get followed. And if they do get followed, they don't typically result in that many new listens. And that's because people are not in that mode. They're not in that mindset. What they're doing at that moment when they've come across your post is they're scrolling, and they're flicking through stuff, and they're seeing what interests them. And maybe you've interrupted their scroll for a moment. You've got something that's caught their eye. You've got something that's interesting. And at that point, what do you want to do? Yes, you can direct them to a podcast episode, but what if you directed them to a simple box where they can pop in their email address so that they can get the episode delivered, or they can get the latest, you know, episodes when they arrive, and then they can go about their day? And that's the idea, because people aren't in a position when they're scrolling, they're not in the mindset to go, okay, I guess I'm done scrolling. I'm going to put my phone away, put my earbuds in, and start listening to this podcast. They're not ready to do that because they're sat, you know, maybe they're in the supermarket queue. Maybe they're just at home and they're just having a scroll. Wherever they are, they're not in the place where they're like, okay, now I'm ready for a 45-minute deep dive into a thing. So what we want to be able to do is say, that's okay. We're not expecting you to listen now. Drop us your email address and we'll send you the episode when it's, you know, this one, and then the next one when it's ready, kind of thing. And so that is the sort of methodology that I want us to go into here. So it's really about capture their attention, grab that email address, explain the value that we're going to deliver to them, and then let them get back to scrolling because that's what they want to do. And then when they're ready, they'll see the email, and then they can make that decision about having a listen to your show. So here's an example of this is my hobby podcast, and I've built it around email. So this is the homepage, and on mobile it's even simpler. So we have the usual buttons that we would expect to subscribe to the podcast. You got your Apple and your Spotify. You might have a YouTube button, that kind of stuff, but above that is the email, because my thinking with this is we can go around the houses about whether we're creating email newsletters or you know, different names for these emails. And essentially, I'm in this example, I'm thinking about email as essentially another distribution channel. So we've got Apple Podcasts, we've got Spotify, we've got the website. Email is just another way. And especially for people who don't necessarily identify themselves as podcast listeners, for whom those Apple and Spotify buttons might not mean a whole lot because they don't know or care what type of phone they've got and whether they've got an Apple, whether they've got a purple podcast app or they've got a green podcast app or they've got something else. Yeah, like why should we make them have to care about that when all they've got to do, if they like the idea, if I've already built up a little bit of interest with them to say, there you go, just drop in your email address and you'll get the latest episode. Nice and simple like that. So that is the thinking behind this process. And then what we want to do is we want to make this as easy as possible for you to manage, so that you're not necessarily having to email out, send a separate email for every podcast episode, because that's just another thing that you've got to do every week, right? Or every 2 weeks. You know, you've got your episode ready, you're working with someone, you're writing the show notes, you're doing all these various bits, or you're paying for someone to help with that stuff, and now we're adding on this extra step. Well, this is where robots can come in and make life really easy. So podcasting is based on a technology called RSS. It's not too important what that is, but it's basically a file on the internet. And that file says, this is your podcast. Here are all the episodes. Here's the audio file address. Here's a little bit of information. And here's the date that it was published. And here's like an ID, a number, so that we can identify one podcast from another. Your podcast app is checking that feed periodically, like every hour, for example, and saying, is there a new episode yet? Is there a new episode yet? Is there a new episode yet? And at some point, there's a new episode. And your phone goes, cool, and downloads it. We can do the same thing with email. So we can create what is called an RSS-based email campaign, which means when a new episode of your podcast is ready and it's gone up to Apple and it's gone up to Spotify, it can also automatically go out to your email list. So you haven't got to worry then about writing a whole separate email. And there are ways that I talk about writing show notes that make the email, whether you're looking at it on a small screen or a bigger screen, whether it's podcast show notes or you're reading it on the web or you're reading it in email, it's written to be concise and to explain right from the beginning what is important about this episode. Why should you care? Because that's the big question that we've always got to answer. And so, like I said before, email just becomes another delivery mechanism. So it really is like, you don't have to have any kind of technical knowledge, because even if you don't subscribe to the podcast in the typical sense, you'll get the email. You can just click the button that says listen, and you can listen on your phone, on the website, wherever you feel comfortable, without having to get into all this like what's a podcast app business. And then what we would also do is using segmentation or using groups. Different email apps have their own nomenclature for this, but essentially you will put them into two buckets. One bucket is for the podcast list, so that goes out every time you've got a new episode, and then we'll put them in another bucket, which is our, call it newsletter, you call it, you know, occasional updates, whatever, and that's the bucket that you'll use to send when you've got a new product, when you've got a new course, when you've got a new event, something like that. And using configuring your email software right, we can say you can keep that relationship alive. Let's say you've got the email about the new episode of the podcast. You don't need that email every time. You can update your preferences to say, I want to stay on the mailing list, but you don't need to email me the podcast every week because I'm already subscribed. That's fine. We've built up that relationship, but I'm happy getting your other email. Your other emails. And so that's an option that we can set up as well. So my implementation of this is using, I use MailerLite, which is my email software of choice. And I like it because it's very affordable and it's really quite easy to use. After having, you know, messed around with MailChimp and lots of others, I found that MailerLite, there's actually quite a lot you can do for free under a certain number of subscribers. But it's got all the tools you need. It can create this kind of segmentation that we want. I can automate it using tools like Zapier. So on my website, for example, here, when someone fills in their email address and clicks that button, actually all that happens is it goes to Zapier, which is a service that connects different bits of internet together. It's like internet glue. And so I can say, whenever I can ping Zapier and say, go off and add this person to my MailerLite address. I don't have to write any code for that. That's what's important. I'm not actually having to write any code. There's a little bit of an integration at the beginning, but then after that, I can choose, you know, to do all sorts of different things. And so what's happening is email addresses, when they're filled in, they're going to go to the podcast bucket, and they're also going to go to my generic newsletter bucket as well. And so my newsletter comes out once a month. This podcast comes out once a week. And so that way I'm delivering value, building trust with the podcast. And then when I actually want to say, hey, I've got a thing you can buy, then I can email them periodically when that stuff's available. So another way you can do this is within MailerLite is creating a form. So you can just create a form within MailerLite, embed it on your website. You can say, when someone fills in this form, add them to these groups, add them to the podcast group and add them to the newsletter group. And then bosh, you're done. So again, no code or very little code to implement that. And so you set it up with what is called an RSS campaign. You get a bit of information from your podcast hosting company, that's the people that you upload your podcast to, they will give you a long URL, a long web address, which is your RSS feed. And then you tell MailerLite, whenever that changes, whenever there's a new episode, send out an email with the details of that episode in it and a link to view the episode on the web. And then you can set it and forget it. So it might take you a couple of hours to set up and do some testing and stuff, but once it's done, it's done. And you don't have to worry about it then. You're not having to write a unique email every week. And there isn't, to my view, there isn't an expectation that it has to be something special, because it is just another way for people to quickly and easily access the podcast. So that's all fair enough, but how do we actually get people's attention at the beginning to move them through to this process? And I like this example from Kim Witten, who I only saw her do this like a week or so ago. It's very tiny. It's minusculely possible that she might have slightly borrowed this idea from me, and I think I very definitely borrowed this idea from someone else. But I'm posting sort of regular little what I call tiny podcast tips on LinkedIn and Instagram, and they're just little images, and then I write a bit of text that goes with them. And so every day, not religious, like if I miss a day, that's fine. I'm being chill about it. And I write them as they occur to me, and then I just stick them in a list, and then I just post them when I remember, or I can automate that process if I want to. And so what I'm doing is I'm showing up regularly, just providing little bits of value. And Kim's a coach, so this is a really good example of this post on the right here. She'll post maybe a couple of those a week, and it's just a way of us remaining in people's memory or attracting new people to us. And I found both are true. As I've been posting them, I get likes from people in and outside the industry. I get people commenting saying, I'm not even in podcasting and this is useful. I get new followers that are new connections that are finding me through these. And all I'm doing is I'm just emptying my brain that, I'm not even spending loads of time finessing, the writing. I've posted them and then a day later I've gone, oh, that's full of like grammatical mistakes and spelling mistakes. It still works. It's still good. And it still gets people through the door. And then there's no links to them. There's no calls to action. It's all about building that trust and that relationship so that people then go, Mark Stedman, who's that guy? Click my profile. And then there's a very simple flow to get through to my newsletter. And so on my flow at the moment, I'm actually doing, I'm offering a podcast growth cheat sheet. So that's my current thing. So when you go to my profile, that's what you get. It asks for your email address, and then we get into the process. And so that's another way, that we can do this. But it's essentially updating your profile, making it super clear what it is you do, making it super clear what value you bring to people, and then making it doubly clear what is the one thing that they should do. Download this thing, view this thing, download this thing, stick in their email address, and then they're in the tent. Okay, so that's kind of getting attention. All of this sounds like a lot of work, especially if you're new to podcasting and you're thinking, I'm already doing a bunch of stuff, this feels like another channel. I absolutely sympathize as someone who has rather burnt out earlier in the year and is now mostly recovered from having done too much. I completely sympathize. The lovely thing about the approach that I like to take is that actually you can start from your voice. So whether you want to think out loud, as friend of the community Carlos Saba does, he will just talk into his, he might do a LinkedIn Live, which is just him on his own, having a chat through some ideas. He can then run that through some sort of AI, tidy it up, help him order his thoughts. He can then spend a little bit of time turning that into a blog post. So you can do a podcast that way. You could do the other way, where you can write something as a blog post first and then just read it into a camera if you want to be on screen, or just directly into your microphone if you just want to do audio. If you do video, you get the audio for free. You can just take the audio from the video and post that. So there's all sorts of options there. And so by leading and starting with your voice, well, that's all for solo stuff. If you're interviewing people, it becomes even easier, because then you have conversations with people over Zoom or Crowdcast, or there's other options for you as well to get better sound. You have those conversations, you make them natural, you just follow your curiosity, and then think about how you can repurpose that stuff, starting again from the ideas and the insights that you've pulled from your episode. That can then be one, two, maybe even three blog posts. From there, you can condense those ideas down into little things that you can pop onto LinkedIn or Instagram or wherever else. If you really want to get into it, you can do the whole Instagram reels and all that kind of stuff. And I help that help people do that as well. But if you don't want to get into that game because it can be exhausting, then this is just a simpler way, a more calm way of starting with your voice, starting with the ideas that come around by talking to people, and then actually building the written and the visual content all around that, and then just posting those bits to the places that make sense. And so this all leads then to what I like to think of as a, checking the time, as a helpful podcast. And so my whole ethos really is this all has to be of value to people. So I mentioned a couple of slides ago about your bio. What we so often do is we talk about ourselves in the bio, and we talk about, I am an MSCAP, MAPP, XX, you know, all of our, you know, my qualifications, and I, you know, did these things. I was a former CEO. It's like, that's all cool. That's great. Congratulations. How can you help me? And so when in your profile, you can say, I help people who are X do Y. And then, you know, the invitation is to sign up for your newsletter or your, you know, or your podcast or whatever it is. That is all about leading with the question of, how is this going to help me? How is, you know, what is good for me? And so I help people try and come up with podcasts that are genuinely valuable and helpful to people, that actually, that really contribute and take our egos out of it as much as possible, and make it about the people that we want to reach, that we want to serve. There are so many very good strategic tactical reasons why he would do that as well. It's not just about altruism. Altruism's nice, but it doesn't pay the bills. So it is still very much about, that's all fine, but like, how do we get bums on seats? And by making stuff, thinking about things in a helpful way, structuring your whole episode to think about answering a question that a listener might have, it actually makes everything else so much easier. Because if you can think about a subject that you want to talk about and interview a guest related to that subject, rather than start with, oh, who can I book? Oh, I guess I'll book Susan. What should we talk about with Susan? Oh, we can talk about this. If you actually start with the idea, start with the question, start with a problem that someone has in your community or someone in your clientele has, if you can start with that, you can structure your episode around it, so that then everything else just becomes about how you answer that question. Because if it's a problem that exists for people, you can express that in LinkedIn, you can express that in Instagram, in Twitter, in Threads, wherever, because you're talking directly to the problem that a person has, rather than listening to an episode, doing a full hour with someone and listening back and going, what bones can I pick out of that? Like, was there anything really there that I can say that I've got that I can use to promote the episode? You're not really promoting, you're helping people solve problems. And so I have a system that I developed that I call the podcast canvas, which is a way of going right from the beginning about, like, who do we actually want to help? So if this is something that you want to do, if you're starting a show, really start with that listener persona. Who is it you are helping? Give them a name, give them a job, give them a salary, make them real in your mind. Think about the problems that exist for them. Think about the ways that those problems show up in their lives. Think about their spheres of influence. Who do they have influence over, and who influences them? What are the things that keep them awake at night? What do they value? What are their goals? If you get into that, then the rest of it starts to become easier in terms of how we write about them, what we call the show, how we position the show. It all comes from thinking about their problems and thinking about how we can improve their life. And so that's kind of the journey that I like to take people through. That is it. That is all I have in terms of the sort of the prepared notes, the prepared material. If any of this sounded useful and interesting, then you can go to mark.guide/coaches. That's a little page that I've set up for us here. And there's some more information there about how we might be able to work together. From there, I think we shall look at any questions that we have, and I will lubricate my throat because it's become very dry. So thank you.
Thank you, Mark. That was awesome. I know it's crazy, the time flies. So I wouldn't mind if you just went into a little bit more detail as to what it is you offer, because I know you're very sure. modest, but part of the yeah. point of all of this is that so for me, what has been made very clear by a lot of the advice that people give. Sorry about the noise, if you can hear at my age. At my age.
Yeah, it's just making you. It's making your voice quieter, so you might have to.
Okay, how shout. Do I do? What Mark's so brilliant. He helps with all of this. I'm shouting. Is that okay? Yeah. Cool. So I think a lot of the advice that people get from people who teach other people how to do podcasts is around what tech you need and how to do public speaking and all those sorts of things. But what Mark's amazing at is the kind of really magic, geeky stuff that actually makes people get your podcast. So that nugget of gold, which was, by the way, people don't want to listen to a podcast when they're on the loo scrolling. And they come across your podcast episode, as Anya says, they want to bookmark it later. That's just obvious, but not obvious, you know what I mean? And then just things like automating your email through Zapier so that people can get a podcast episode and you don't have to be doing that manually. These are the little nuggets of gold that make what Mark does different to people who just tell you how to get nice microphones and edit your podcast for you. So I just wanted to acknowledge that and say, could you actually just loop back and talk a bit more about what you how you can help how you can help people here and anyone watching this on repeat in the community.
Thank you. So there are so many questions and issues and problems that come up when you have a podcast. It's like, now, okay, I've got a podcast, now I've got a whole new set of problems. And I always say to people when I start working with them, like the tech stuff, I can send that in an email. Here's the mic you should buy. Here's the headphones you should buy. Here's why you should wear headphones. All of that kind of stuff. The stuff that often feels the scariest, because it's like, this is a black box. There are so many microphones. There are so many pieces of software and tech. Like, how do I navigate all of that stuff? And there are simple answers to that stuff. But often that's the thing that feels the scariest. But actually, that's there are simple answers. Here's the mic. Here's what I recommend. Boom, you're done. What is harder is how do we attract listeners, but more to the point, how do we retain them so that we can build that relationship with them? Because my whole thing is about building trust with people. And so if we're gonna do that, what are the things that we can put in place to make that easier so that if we do find we are attracting a bunch of people because we've got a really big network and there's loads of people following us and we can post, we've got a new episode out, that's great. And maybe you've had some help editing, maybe you haven't, maybe you're like, I'm going raw and unedited and I just put my stuff out there. Don't do that. There's lots of reasons why, but don't do that. The difficulty then is like, okay, I've got all these new people, but they're not coming back. And so why is that? And so part of what I do is helping people, if they're starting a podcast, get to the point right from the beginning where that stuff is clear, because otherwise what often ends up happening is you start a podcast and then you get a few, maybe 6 months down the line, and you end up actually having to get like a marketing audit and a bunch of other stuff to figure out, why is no one listening? Or why can't I retain listeners? And what I like to do for people just starting out is help put that stuff in place right from the beginning so you're really clear. And then for people who already have podcasts, I have two important or useful services. One is a podcast audit, which is essentially going through your content and your marketing, your packaging, to find out is this attracting people? Is it attracting the right people? Is it easy to find? What are the bits that I, where are my blind spots? What are the bits that I don't know? I don't know. And so I generate a report and we go through that, and I help people sort of get a really good sense of how their show is performing in the market. And, you know, is it doing what it should do? Is it being found in the way it should be found? When people find it, what is their first experience like? And that involves actually listening to the episodes. So that's one of the things that I do. And then the other thing is essentially very much in the kind of coaching landscape is like, I've got a blocker, something that I'm stuck in some way. That might be a creative block. It might be a technical issue. It might be like, I literally just don't know. How does this thing plug into this thing? How do I use this piece of software? Or it's like, I really can't seem to get it together to get episodes out, and I'm flagging, and I, you know, I'm sort of losing it, those kinds of things. I offer a very simple call. Get on a call with me for an hour. One of our members has done that with me, I love doing them. I have yet to be stumped. You know, people bring all sorts of problems and questions, no one's come away, you know, yet with their question not being solved, or, you know, their problem not being addressed. And so that's something I really enjoy doing, and I find really valuable as well. So if there is just something in your way that is blocking you, that's stopping you from getting to where you want to be, to that next stage, or even just to getting your first episode out there, then I offer a call to sort of help you get unblocked. So those are kind of the things that I offer. If you take a look at my site, there's a bit more information about some of the stuff there. And I'm also, I do sort of monthly workshop-y type things, a little bit like this, where a bunch of sort of podcast solopreneur type people get together, and we look at a particular topic. And, you know, I did one that Anya was part of a while back, all about podcasting and AI. And so we just pick apart a topic and have a look through it. So that is essentially what I do.
Thanks, Mark. Sal's got his hand up. Lucy's got a question, and I had a question, and some people are blowing some hot air up your arse in the chat. I just thought you'd like to know all of that. So maybe you. Sal?
Yeah.
Cool, thank
also,
you.
Before you say anything, Sal, Mark, can you just post in the chat,
yes,
for anyone who wants it right now, the page that you have created that makes all of this very clear for people to digest later?
Done. Sal, over to you.
Cool. So I'm just going to, for those of you who haven't, I've worked with Mark, I'm going to put my podcast in. Nice, simple. It's a link there. So you can see live experience. I'm more than a year in. I've just gone to video. So I've got YouTube. It's all going to go on the video stuff now. I'm happy to share thoughts from an experience point of view. If anyone wants to bounce me a question, feel free. But Mark really has got my podcast off the ground, and it's a great platform. So I'm really pleased. So there we go. Now, question about email.
Yes.
How do we get people to give us that sneaky email address? Because you're like, oh, would you like an update? It's like, no, I don't want any more emails in my life. Leave me alone. Now, you mentioned a cheat sheet, which, of course, if you have a specific offer, that's kind of cool. What are your other suggestions for leveraging in a healthy, ethical way to get someone's email, as you rightly said, to then say, hey, we'll send you the show? Because why would they want to listen to the show? Have you got any other points that would be useful?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it comes down to what are quick things that will enable people to solve an immediate problem, or at least feel like they're addressing it. So there's another show that I work on, which is for people in the health sector, and they are burnt out and stressed out and stuck in all sorts of different ways. And what they provide are... there's one that's I think it's called the Overwhelm SOS toolkit or something along those lines, and it's a PDF essentially, and so it's really just, here are some top tips, here are some common, you know, if you can do something like top 10 reasons why X, you know, top 10 reasons why you can't sleep, top 10 things to try to help you sleep that aren't chemicals, you know, that kind of thing. I think Simon would often use sleep as an example, but stuff where you can think about the areas that you specialize in. What are 10 things, like, what are the 10 most common things that people come to you with? Because it kind of does a double duty there. It's sort of, it's solving some people's problems, but it also means that people, when people come to you with those questions, you can just be like, go over there. I wrote this document for you. I find that as well, because, you know, I get the whole, like, how do I start a podcast question all the time. I had a page on my site that was like, here's all the stuff. And now I'm like, I've got a Notion page. And if I don't already have your email address, there you go, pop your email address in there, and you know, you'll get it emailed to you. So if you can find quick, simple ways to give people a little bit of advice, solve a problem. I think also, like, I mean, there's email courses as well, drip. So stuff like MailerLite will help you with that as well. You could do like a seven days, you know, sleep better course, or 7 days to fitness, or, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know, like a couch to 5K buddy, you know. Those kind of things, thinking about how you can accompany people on the journey that way. So yeah, I think it's a few options.
Yeah, good ideas. Thank you, Mark.
Oh, I like the, thank you. I like Carlos is saying it. Yeah, a short diagnosis tool. There's that has become quite a big thing, actually, isn't it? Like quizzes and stuff like that people do. Quizzes, questionnaires, polls, those kinds of things. I'm seeing people who have big bodies of work, they're now doing, and in fact, my same client, they have a thing where we've got 200 odd episodes. If you like the show, but you want to get a tailored playlist based on your, you know, where you are in life, where you are in your situation, answer these questions, pop in your email address, and we'll send you a customized playlist of stuff. So even just like, here's what I love to listen to when I'm running, here's what, you know, anything like that. It's yeah. So yeah, cool. Thank you Sal.
Mark, I've got a question.
Yes, I was gonna say, I know Carlos had a question as well, but yes.
Oh, and also Lucy, you had one, didn't you? Lucy was asking about how to not do what I do, which is
the question was
unedited stuff out there, and not Mark for this, because I'm like, no, I don't want your help with this. I'm very happy you've got it out there, but I think Mark probably would say don't.
So,
yeah, maybe answer.
Why,
that
Mark?
So should I ask Lucy, did you have a specific question around that?
Like what's give me like tell me why not to put out stuff that's unedited?
Because people don't want to hear it. And what we're essentially doing is we are in, I will say the shitty thing, and then we can walk it back and I can be nicer about it. But the shitty way of saying it is we're wasting people's time. We are saying something, we're cramming 25 minutes of content into an hour. And so there are ways that we can just condense that. And what we do when we do that is we just become more valuable. We are competing with so much when we talk about the amount of time that people have. People don't commute in the same ways that they did before. People don't necessarily have an hour each way to commute. And so in that landscape where there are so many podcasts, and lots of them are bland, and we know that, and you know, we want to make something that's really special, because we care about our audiences. We need to make sure that we put ourselves in the best, put our best foot forward, really. And for me, you know, at the base level, that just means removing the stuff that doesn't need to be there. What I think sometimes people do is they say they don't want to edit, which is a fine enough reason, you know, it's a fine enough thing to say, like, that's not something I want to do. I understand that. But then they couch it in saying, I'm raw, I'm real. That's not why you're not doing it. Because lots of things are raw and real, but they're edited. It's a different thing. I was watching someone's YouTube quote unquote podcast, and their daughter interrupted them halfway through to ask if they could play on the swings or something. And it's like, if you're in a live environment, that's lovely. That's human. That's part of the experience. And that happens. You know, we saw the viral clip on the TV when, you know, when someone's dog interrupted the newscaster or whatever, like, that's great. It's a different experience when we're on demand, and we've got to sort of come correct, really. I think there is a responsibility there to make sure we make good use of people's time. So that doesn't mean spending hundreds or thousands on editing. It just means let's remove the stuff that actually doesn't need to be there. So yeah.
Mark, my question relates to that. And so obviously I've now produced a load of raw unedited stuff, and that was mainly just like couldn't budget for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the time. But now, you know, what I want is for you to do two things. One is to help me go back over it and edit it to Annie's point out of courtesy. But also my question is, I love your thing about automating email so that people can get podcasts as they as they're published. But if you've already published them, can you A, set up an automation, you front loaded all the content so that people don't just get it exactly when you publish it, but when you want them to get it. I'm gonna guess that the answer is yes, but you know, can you help with that? And then I guess could people hand over to you a load of raw content and could you help them to do the editing work in due course maybe? And
sure.
then to automate the email thing out.
Sure. Okay. So I am much more like a country vet than a doctor than a dog walker. What I mean by that is, as a country vet, I might help give birth to an animal, or I might help, you know, assist that and make sure that everything's okay. I might check that your animal is not ill, or you know, if you just need some reassurance. But I don't handle the sort of regular feeding and walking of your dog, and so I don't do the, that's a roundabout way of saying I don't do the editing and that kind of stuff for people's podcasts. I do it, I have a legacy sort of list of clients that I work with, but I'm not taking on new editing clients. What I will absolutely do is help you find an editor that you can work with, and I can show you the ropes and how you can do it in a way that is actually really non-scary. I have been working with someone, I've got a lovely video from someone who just posted this natively to TikTok. Wasn't a testimonial. They wanted to tell their people on TikTok that they were having a really fun time editing their podcast, and they are not someone who is technical. So the stuff I use and teach works like editing a Google Doc effectively. So there are ways that we can do this stuff that actually, if you're willing to take a bit of time, and I know not everyone is, I get that, but if you're willing to take a little bit of time, you can do this stuff yourself in a way that isn't too scary. I feel like that only partially answered your question, and there was another question in there.
Yeah, that's, I do that annoying thing of asking five questions at once.
I think I've got ADHD. So.
Between us. So I'm mindful of everyone's time, and my job here is to, you know, poke modest people like Mark to put themselves out there with greater clarity, confidence and joy. And so I just want to draw to your attention, again, the website that Mark has painstakingly put together specifically for you here on this call, and if you're watching it on repeat, and just to make really clear to you that what Mark does is offer things like a 60-minute session for £240, in which you can go through anything that you need on a kind of one-to-one basis, but also offers a kind of audit. And you can also offer an audit and a call, and you can sign up at no cost to his sort of newsletter, which then invites you to other workshops that Mark will be running like this, which might be the best way for you to move forward if you'd like Mark's support. So all of this will go into a post if you're in the community, and you'll get the recording of this session as well, and we'll share with everyone who's registered for the tools and techniques the various links that Mark would like you to see. So I just want to say thank you, Mark. This is a whistle-stop tour. I hope people have found it helpful. And of course you can, if you want to connect with Mark on LinkedIn, if you're not already, please do that, or in the community. And yes, Mark is very much here to help people on this subject.
So. Very much. And as much as, you know, I gave a little bit of the for want of a better word, medicine, like I come at this stuff with from a place of love and from a place of support. But it's both for you and also for your listeners. And so that's when there, you know, there's sometimes a tension between helping you maximize your time, not do stuff that burns you out, not do stuff that frustrates you, but also making sure that you deliver the maximum value that you can with the resources that you have to your clients in what is a competitive landscape. So that's the fine line that I try and draw.
Thanks, Mark. And so please don't forget to register if you're interested for the next Tools and Techniques. It's open to non-members and members of the Best and Brave community, and that is How to Do Canva with Clarity, Confidence and Joy with me on the 1st of May. And then we've got a really wonderful workshop on the 9th with Vic Anderson, who is another community member, and that's going to be all about cyclical marketing as an imperfect coach. So that's going to be amazing. And you can sign up for those via LinkedIn now, and I will have the link sorted so that it's super easy for you to access this session next time. So see you all soon. Thanks so much for joining.
Thank you very much. Thanks all.
Cheers, bye.